Over the readings for this weekend, I'll often make notes in the margins about words that come to me. And as is evident, I think, to all of us in both the first reading and in the gospel, it's thankfulness. How many times in the course of a day do we say thank you? And how many times in a day do we really mean it? Sometimes someone holds the door and it's a thanks, and we just move on. Or some other little thing happens and it's just thanks, and we go on. At least we're kind enough to say it. But when someone really does something for us, it has a big impact. If you have ever run out of gas on the side of the road and had to have somebody bring you gas, you are ready to fall at their feet and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, can I give you $20 for that gallon of gas? We are so thankful, so relieved, so happy that we were rescued from that situation. It's amazing what we will want to do in return. In our first reading, Naaman is an Aramean commander in Syria, 9 BC, and he has suffered from leprosy. Elisha says to him, go and bathe in the River Jordan 7 times. He doesn't want anything to do with it. But one of his servants, one of his lesser commanders, says to him, go ahead, what have you got to lose, kind of thing, and he does. And as we hear in the reading, he does this and his skin comes out like that of a baby. He was so thankful. He wanted to give something back to the prophet for the gift of his healing. And the prophet said, no, that's not necessary. I'm doing this in God's name. Well, then can I take 2 mule loads of dirt with me that I might have some of this sacred ground back with me that I may give thanks to your God on this ground? I read in one of the other commentaries that Elisha's helper took the gift that Naaman was offering that Elisha had turned down, and then contracted leprosy. When we do things in God's name, we should do it out of love, out of respect. And then we look at today's reading. 10 lepers standing over there, they know that they are not permitted to get near the people. Leprosy is highly contagious, full of sores, that even in extreme cases, parts of the body come disengaged. Horrible disease. I understand it doesn't hurt because all the nerve endings are dead. But nonetheless, your life is impaired. And these 10 men are calling to Jesus. They know if he says something, if he does anything, they'll be healed. So his instructions are to go see the priest, because at the time, the priest, the holy men, the order of Levite, would have been the ones that would have declared these individuals well enough to return back into society. And we know that one comes back. And Jesus makes the point in the story, and it was a Samaritan. Now, from the earliest days of Jerusalem, there were the 12 tribes. And then some things went awry, and the northern tribes split off. They had been conquered, and some other things went on. And Syria fell into part of this area, where they had, for a while, the same God, the same practices, but then they became very divergent. And who comes back to say thank you but one of the enemies of the Jewish people? That is gratitude. For him to be able to say thank you for the gift that you've given to me. Another very interesting concept here. 1 in 10, a tenth. Another way that we look at that, especially in biblical literature, is that is to tithe. Okay? Someone would give 10% of their flock, 10% of their crops to the church. And we even look at that today as the number. To tithe means to give 10% of your time, your talent, or your treasure. And we look at this little example where Jesus is again pulling up this notion of what it is of tithing occurring live and in person, where 10% come back to say thank you. This attitude of gratitude is something we have to foster in our own lives. Nothing goes exactly according to our plan. But you probably are aware what God does when we tell him our plan. God chuckles. We don't have the whole play. We don't have a complete understanding of all the intricacies of all the things that are going on in the world. And sometimes the best thing we can do is turn ourselves over to God. I said recently at a couple of meetings, think about the time that you went on a great vacation. Was everything absolutely spot on perfect? Maybe you lucked out and it was. Maybe there were little things that went wrong. The rental car, they didn't get you the right one. The airplane was delayed. Your luggage got lost. Maybe the maitre d' got you the wrong reservations. But all in all, you get back and you say, you know, it was really a good time. And I often wonder, this time that we're here on the planet Earth, we are away from the kingdom. What if this is kind of that time away? Are we making the best of it? Are we looking at everything that we have with that attitude of gratitude? Or is it some expectation that this is the way it should be? Yeah, there are aches and pains, medicines to be taken, physical therapy to be done. But in the end, this opportunity to give thanks and praise to God, to be of assistance to one another, to be present for one another, is who we are called to be and what we are called to do. The Greek word, eucharistika, eucharistic, is in itself thanksgiving. You came here today, perhaps unbeknownst to you, to give thanksgiving to God for all the blessings, gifts, and graces you have in your life, even if they're not the best. Maybe it's not the house you really want to live in, or the car you really want to drive, or the TV you really want to have, but you have these things. You have the ability to be thankful. And where are we in that equation? Are we willing to say thank you to the Lord, or is our prayer a constant barrage of three-year-old activity? Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want. Give it to me now. Where's the thankfulness? Where's the opportunity in our prayer life to be able to say thank you, Lord, for all the good things that we have? And for the most part, we've got a lot of really good things. And what if, I had read this somewhere and kind of scared me a little bit, what if the final exam question to get through the pearly gates, St. Peter is looking at you and says, did you have a good time? What would our answer be? Oh no, it was miserable. Then why do you want to be here? Or maybe no, it was great. I had an opportunity to do so much, to be of so much help, to be present for the other. And that's what we're called to do. In our second reading, Paul talking to Timothy is in jail. He's trying to tell Timothy some of the good things that Paul would do. And he reminds us that if we die with Christ, we will live with him. If we endure sacrifice and pain for Christ, there will be redemption. As long as we are looking to Jesus as a guide, as a model, as the one that gives us life, then we're okay. It's when we think when we're in control, when it has to be our way, that things can go a little awry. For he says, God cannot deny himself. God is nothing but love. And with that, all he wants to do is give us his love. Grace. That gift from God, completely unwarranted, unmerited. He just gives it to us. And I know from the youngest days, I had this image in my head. Perhaps it was one of the sisters, I don't know. That think of a waterfall. And that which is coming over the cliff is grace. If you want to walk up to that waterfall with a thimble, that's what you can get. If you want to walk up there with a coffee mug or a tumbler or a 55-gallon drum or back up a tanker truck, it's there for you to give you the strength you need. All you've got to do is ask for it. I remember some of the unmerited gifts my grandfather gave me when he lived with us. My grandfather was a Major League Baseball umpire in the 20s and 30s. He was actually behind the plate at the first legalized Sunday ball game in Boston. He knew Ty Cobb, he knew Babe Ruth, and every once in a while, he'd be walking by me and slip into my hand a nickel. Totally unmerited, unwanted. He would then tell me to go buy something nice for myself. I don't think he'd been in a store in a long time. But it was just his love, his willingness to just give of those little things to an 8-year-old. You know, this grace is so available to us. I don't think I can do it right now, but there are, St. Thomas Aquinas taught, there are 7 different kinds of grace. Prevalent grace is the first kind that we get that gives us the ability to accept the other graces. But then there's actual grace and sacramental grace. And all of these are gifts freely given. My question back at you is, how often do you say thank you? How often are we grateful? How often are we thankful for the little things we've got? Even if we wanted the big thing and we get the little thing, where's our gratitude? Where is our willingness to say, thank you, Lord, for the things I do have? So let our prayer then be, perhaps this week, as you're moving about in your daily activities through the week, look for a few opportunities to really say thank you to someone who does something nice. Maybe you completely surprise somebody when you thank them profusely for the simplest little thing that they do. Give a little bit of that grace back out. Give this opportunity to share the grace that's given to you that will build up the people of God and make us all holier and certainly more thankful. Now, as many of you know, in just 10 days, there's a pilgrimage going to the Holy Land. There are 25 people that are going on this trip. I'm blessed to be able to kind of lead the trip. There is a real guide, so these people are in really good hands. We are going to be celebrating Mass in 7 different sites in the Holy Land. At the Chapel of the Milk Grotto. What is that, you say? Fascinating. When Joseph told Mary that we had to get up and go to Egypt now, Mary finished feeding our Lord, and a drop of milk fell on the ground and changed the entire ground into a white powder. Today, women come to this church who are having difficulty conceiving. And there apparently are pictures all over the wall of women who have successfully conceived, having visited this chapel. We're also going to be in the Church of the Good Shepherd, and apparently the world's oldest city, Jericho. In Nazareth, at the Basilica of the Assumption, in Capernaum, at the Church of the Beatitudes. On Mount Tabor, at the Church of Stella Maris, Mary Star of the Sea. Mass in Jerusalem, at the Garden of Gethsemane, and at the Church of St. Anne, Mary's mom. In the back of the church, on the welcome table, there are some forms like this that list all of church places we're going to be celebrating Mass. And some lines at the bottom, I would love to take your prayer intentions with us, that we might be praying for you in all of these holy sites. The binder will be right on the altar as we do here at Mass with our prayer intention binder. While we're gone, I would certainly hope that you pray for us on this pilgrimage. I keep reminding those that are going, you know the difference between a pilgrim and a tourist? Pilgrims don't complain. So we have lots of wonderful prayers, an opportunity to pray together, sing together, and of course, celebrate the Eucharist. Thanksgiving for the blessings and gifts that we have been given in the Holy Land. We'll also do some stuff on the website so you can see what's going on and where we've been and what fun we're having. But I ask you to remember us in prayers so that as a Catholic community, we can be united with you here and a few of us over there as we all pray and worship our Lord together.